This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Rothstein, who is just terrific at this, and John, CBS Sports College Hoops Analyst, Insider, and SI as well. That's recently added to the portfolio.
Yep.
Congrats on that, buddy.
Thank
Happy
you, man.
For you. And the College Hoops Today podcast. So John's obviously doing great. A little corny on Twitter, but I love him. I could say that. Who picked that up? Deadspin, right? The stay hungry, stay humble thing? People thought you were a bot. They didn't know if you were a real person for a while. You had to have it.
Seriously,
but I know you, but how do you do? Do you set an alarm or do you just wake up? Are you an alarm setter?
No, I naturally wake up. Like last night, I went to bed maybe 1:30 and I was up at 6:15.
Okay. And as soon as you wake up, do you tweet from your bed, stay hungry, comma, stay
well,
humble?
I try to plan out like my thoughts for the day the night before. It depends what I'm reading that day.
But how do you have to plan that thought out? You've been tweeting it for 7 years. Shouldn't that be ingrained in your head?
Yeah. I mean, routine is skill. Got to be routinized.
Listen, routine is imperative when you do what you do.
The best way to get ahead is to get started. Mark Twain.
Here we go. Not bad. Good walk spoiled as well, Mark Twain. But you still haven't gotten into golf, which is your bad. I can't waste time on
no
that.
No golf, no coffee, no wine.
Stop. No wine?
No, no wine.
So all these restaurants that you hit, you don't have wine?
No.
What do you have, beer?
Vodka.
Wow.
Kettle water, three limes on the rocks.
All right. You do love your food. But vodka doesn't taste this. You got to get in a little wine, man.
It just doesn't.
Just
hasn't stuck.
Okay.
No coffee, no golf, no wine.
I heard you the first time. Let me ask you this. I've made the statement before, and I believe this, and it's kind of sad. But, John, in large part, the conference tournaments are completely a waste of our time.
Why?
Because they don't impact anything outside of the automatic bids, which clearly impact something. But even the seeding is somewhat negligible. I don't know if there can be a way to overhaul this, but they just don't have the juice. And the NCAA has to know this.
I completely disagree.
Do you really?
Because what? Conference tournaments, in certain cases, can captivate a team to a completely different place in the NCAA tournament. In 2011, UConn goes 9-9 in the Big East. They win 5 games in 5 days. All of a sudden, they're a 3 seed. They wind up going to the Final Four and winning a national championship. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Tennessee, if they had beaten Auburn yesterday, would have been a 1 seed over Gonzaga. And it also creates an opportunity for teams to enter the NCAA tournament that were not projected to be in the field. What happened with St. Mary's, what happened with Oregon, what happened with St. Louis mm-hmm. is why college basketball excels during championship week, because 3 teams that were not projected to be in the NCAA tournament
yep.
found their way into the field.
Give me the 3 teams again. St. Mary's got that.
Oregon,
of
St. Louis.
And St. Louis.
Would not have gotten that large bids.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. I mean, and the numbers support what you just said, but I didn't see any of the St. Louis game, to be honest with you. Was there palpable?
St. Bonaventure had a big following there.
St. Bonaventure always travels well. But, I mean, was the place on fire? I mean,
I wasn't at the game. It was one of the more exciting endings we had this week to a championship game, because St. Bonaventure in the final seconds had a 3 to win the game and go to the NCAA tournament.
It's good to see them back, even though they're not back this year, but it is good to see them back in totality. They were irrelevant for a long time, and obviously way before you were born. Before I was born, they were a great program, so that's not a bad thing to see. I guess we'll disagree, or we'll agree to disagree to an extent. I understand that there are certain pockets and certain situations that obviously lend itself to get a team getting a little momentum that could propel you forward. I just the bigger conferences, I just don't see the impact on the seedings. But I hear you to an extent.
Yeah, I mean, and also you got to take into account, you follow all sports. For the college basketball fan, there might be just a little bit, appeal. That's all.
That's true. A lot of people want to get with John here. 1-855-212-4227. John Rothstein is with me. Let's start. Reed is in Alabama. He's got a little question on the Jayhawks. And Reed is on Tiki and Tierney with John, who is peppering away his phone. He's probably cutting some breaking news. Reed, go ahead, buddy. What do you have?
Hey, what's up, man? I was just trying to get your thoughts on what you guys think about Kansas' shot in the tournament this year. It seems like the first time in at least 10 years they have no expectations. I think it might serve him well. Mm. A lot of people are counting him out already. Just want to know your guys' thoughts.
Thanks for the call there, Reed. John, take it away, pal. Low you.
All right, well, dangerous opening game against Northeastern. Northeastern was about 250th out of 353 teams this year in tempo. So they're going to play really, really small, shoot a lot of threes, play really slow, shoot a lot of threes. The two names to keep an eye on for Northeastern, Vasa Pusica, who had seven made threes the CAA tournament title game for Northeastern. Also, Jordan Rowland, a transfer from GW. So this
a grad transfer?
What? No, just a transfer.
Just a regular transfer?
Just a regular transfer from GW.
Okay.
Kansas isn't vintage Kansas, but one thing to keep an eye on, if Kansas is to win two games, they will play the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight at the Sprint Center in Kansas City.
I did hear
so that's
that.
Something, yep. You know, that's a dynamic. Yep. So if Kansas plays North Carolina in Kansas City in the Sweet 16, Roy Williams, his old team, Kansas City, the Sprint Center, that's a storyline.
It is, but North Carolina would stomp them.
I agree.
North Carolina would stomp them.
And they're in the region of pace.
Let's get Jay up in Canada, and Jay is on Tiki and Tierney. Rothstein is here. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. How are you? I just called to say, John, I watched your show you guys last week. I watched all the small tournaments that you guys carried on the CBS Sports Network. And I just wanted to say that you and the panel did a great job with the smaller conferences. I watched you guys inside college basketball every night. So it was
thank you,
really
buddy.
Good.
They do a great job. They honestly, it's a great pass. And all the people on the set, by the way, all good people who
good
genuinely
people.
Love what they do. They've assembled a great cast. So what's your question for John, Jay? What do you have?
I just wanted to know what he thought about one of the teams I kind of watched quite closely last week, the Utah State Aggies. I enjoyed watching. They kind of played a bit of old-school basketball, a lot of pass and roll, pick and roll, and moved the ball really well. And I don't know. I think they could definitely win one or two games.
Utah State's pretty good, but I'm going to hand this off to John for the specifics on the Aggies. Go ahead, John.
Well, here's the thing. The Utah State-Washington matchup is interesting for this. And to me, Washington is a mercurial situation, and this is why. Huskies won the Pac-12 regular season title. They don't own a win over an at-large team in the field.
I think they were 0-7, is that what I read?
The only team that they've beaten in the field is the Oregon Ducks, who got an automatic bid. Mm-hmm. So, to me, the jury is still out. Now, people can say, well, they played well. You haven't beaten a team that's in the field as an at-large. Now, Utah State, really good passing team. Craig Smith, a disciple of Tim Miles, who right now is the head coach of Nebraska. He's in the NIT. You've got a guy who's done as good a job as any coach in America is in his first year at Utah State. Sam Merrill, a terrific player in the Mountain West that a lot of people don't know about.
I saw
really
him a
good
bit
passing
the other day.
Team.
He had a big game the other day.
And it's a really good passing team, which could bode well against the 2-3. I have Utah State moving on to play North Carolina.
Who is the best 3-point shooting team in the tournament?
Wofford.
That we don't know about.
Wofford. Fletcher
what are they,
McGee,
42, 42,
Nathan,
43%. You know a number?
A 49% from the field, I believe.
As 40, a team?
I believe 49% from the field and 41 from three.
Oh, I thought you meant 49% from
no.
three. All right, 41% from downtown.
You know, I'll
great.
Check
I
that.
Got you, I got
yeah,
you.
And but the thing is, the three main perimeter guys for this team: Fletcher McGee, Storm Murphy, Nathan Hoover, all shooting better than 40 from three. Fletcher McGee made 151 threes last year. Now, I'm not comparing this guy at all to J.J. Redick. But when he moves without the ball, he reminds you of the way J.J. Redick used to move without the ball when he played at Duke. So for people who are looking at that Seton Hall game right there, that is the guy you want to keep an eye on, Fletcher McGee. And I think back to, obviously, what Quincy McKnight did a couple of weeks ago defensively against Marcus Howard. Mm-hmm. That matchup, potentially, Quincy McKnight against Fletcher McGee, a great individual matchup in the region of pace.
In the region of pace. I got to keep up with all these monikers here.
Region well, you got
pace,
the pace, you got the region of grind, the region of sizzle, and then the top with Duke, LSU, Maryland, Nikhil Alexander, Walker, Virginia Tech, and Reggie Perry at Mississippi State. You have the region of prospects.
The region of prospects. Okay, so you mentioned UCF. They came up before UCF. A lot of size in the middle. Now, he doesn't play huge minutes, Taco. I watched them play, what was that? Would have been last week, maybe early last week, against Cincinnati at UCF.
They won
UCF
a three-point game.
They won by 2 or 3 points there. Taco's mom was there from...
beautiful story.
It's a great story. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you think he's going to be good in the NBA because you primarily, you know, focus as to college here.
Still the draft.
I hear you. But can UCF make a little – I know that Duke is waiting. UCF going to win this game?
I've got UCF winning a game.
You
I
do.
Also look at it like this, and this is the interesting thing about this round of 32 matchup. Johnny Dawkins played and coached under Mike Krzyzewski.
Yep.
But also, what is Duke's Achilles heel?
Three-point
outside shooting. So, if you've got Aubrey Dawkins, Colin Smith, or Chad Brown, and then Taco Fall up front,
a little zonage.
You've got to go over the top of their defense.
Yeah.
To beat UCF, you have to go over the top because you're not going to be able to post up and so on and so forth. from just a matchup perspective, mm-hmm. that could be interesting, and that's well beyond the Coach K, Johnny Dawkins relationship. So I look at that Duke-UCF matchup, if we get to that in the round of 32, as being very interesting, because that would test the Blue Devils' outside shooting.
I know we all love these matchups with these storylines. Little too devious on the part of the NCAA to pit Louisville against Minnesota? A little dirty?
Well, I mean, it has nothing to
come on.
But when you see matchups like that, you have to think that there's, a higher power making that matchup together.
Of course. They're saying, what's the best interest? What's going to make
Coach Pitino is still suing Louisville for, I believe, over $40 million.
That's crazy that that's happening. You a believer in Texas Tech?
I'm a believer in the sense that they're exceptionally well coached. They've got a lottery pick in Jarrett Culver. I don't know if they have enough to win four games in this tournament, considering what they're going to see in their bracket. I mean, they'd have to beat, probably Michigan, and then, they'd obviously have to beat, the Gonzaga Florida State winner. I would not be shocked, though, if Texas Tech won two or three games whatsoever. But I do think this, if we look, at the region of sizzle, mm-hmm. I've got Arizona State, beating St. John's. You also have
What?
I have Arizona State beating St. John's.
Yeah.
You also have a Arizona State Buffalo matchup.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be Bobby Hurley against his former assistant.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's something to watch. I think BT, and I know you're going to do the game out in Dayton, Zylan Cheatham.
I know. A lot of rebounds, too.
Rebound. 12-10-3, a high-level glue guy. The type of guy, in my opinion, that maybe won't get drafted but could make a roster in the NBA.
He's a problem. He is absolutely a problem, no question. I've seen him play. Jeff's in Texas, and Jeff is on Tiki and Tierney. Jeff, go ahead. What do you have for John?
Well, you just answered my question a while ago about Texas Tech, but considering that they're arguably the best defense in the country, and with the region that they're in and the bracket that they have, you don't think that they can make at least an Elite Eight run?
I think they can. I think they're definitely capable. I think Moretti has been so good; feels like he hasn't missed a free throw since Christmas. And you've got a team that's really built on guys who do intangibles. Tariq Owens. Matt Mooney, Norenz Odiase. I mean, I think they definitely could. I mean, I think Texas Tech's the type of team that, could be a surprise Final Four team. I don't have them going because I think, Michigan, I love the fact that Michigan is somewhat off the radar. Lost to Michigan State three times. They're just getting Charles Matthews back.
Yep.
This is, I think, when Beilein does some of his best work.
He's a great tactician. There's no doubt. That's John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, SI as well. Host College Hoops Today podcast. Who do you have on the show? Who's on the podcast this week?
Just me. It's a bracket breakdown week. Last week we had Izzo.
Oh, 100% nerdiness. Just you? Nobody to reel you in?
Just me. That's it.
You and all your nerdiness and your brilliance all intertwined into one.
That's it, man.
Man, brother.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.